You're listening to 91.9 KVCR News. I'm Rick Dulock. On Fridays, we speak with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR News contributor Cassie McDuff about some of the big stories around the Inland Empire. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Rick.
The San Bernardino City Council were entertaining a moratorium on warehouses. What happened at their meeting?
Right. Unlike Colton, the city of San Bernardino did not pass a 45-day moratorium, and that's because the city attorney told them they needed a supermajority of 6 votes. 5 ended up voting for it, and so the motion failed. The 2 who voted against it were Councilman Fred Chouret and Juan Figueroa. The city council listened to comments from 42 members of the public. Labor union members were very much in evidence. They talked about the importance of the warehouses to creating jobs. And people who live in San Bernardino also talked. They begged their council members to vote in favor of the moratorium because they're concerned about the negative effects on their health and their children's health of air pollution and truck traffic and, of course, the wear and tear on the streets. The staff had told the council they needed a pause to give them a chance to review the current codes and guidelines, which they say are not adequate to ensure that warehouses are compatible with surrounding land uses. They want to assess the environmental impacts on the city and on neighboring communities, but the council could not muster the votes to do that.
How will they address the standards then if it's just okay for us to have warehouses? How will they address the impacts?
The city is about to begin a general plan update that includes the development code, and so that's where they review all of the zoning and the development standards. But that process can take up to 3 years, so that's, I guess, going to be the way they address it. Otherwise, staff doesn't have time within the press of business to look at this issue separately.
3 Riverside City Council seats are up for election on June 8th. Tell us about them.
Right. There are 3 seats on the ballot in the city of Riverside. 6 candidates are running for the council seat that's now held by 4-term Councilman Andy Melendrez, who decided not to seek re-election. The striking thing to me about this group of candidates is their relative youth. They're younger than what I usually see. City council candidates typically are people who have either retired from their careers or are comfortably along in their careers so they can take time away from their work to serve in elected office. But here we have candidates in their 20s and 30s. The oldest is in his 40s. They're also more ethnically diverse than we've seen on the Riverside City Council for years, although the last election did bring in more diversity in terms of gender and ethnicity. So one of the candidates here is a Latina. Her name is Clarissa Cervantes. She's the sister of Assemblywoman Sabrina Cervantes. She worked for Melendrez for several years as his legislative field rep. Another is a 2018 UCR graduate, Aram Ira, 24 years old. He co-founded a nonprofit to set up food pantries in Riverside neighborhoods. Another is Jose Tony Huerta, 26 years old. He's a teacher and soccer coach. Joe Paradis, age 36, is the son of North High School's head football coach. Austin D. Skipper, 37 years old, is a third-generation Riversider, an automotive consultant and chef. And the oldest is 49-year-old Anthony Tyson, a real estate agent and a runner. And he talked about his concern over air quality impacts of warehouses.
So young candidates in these races, it seems like it's becoming a trend. Maybe it's the compensation. Are they compensated in Riverside?
Yeah, I think that is a factor here, Rick. Council members receive a salary of $41,376 a year.
Well, that's kind of like a starting salary for someone just out of college.
Yeah, it is. It's below the median annual income for the area. But as you say, for someone starting out, it certainly is a starting salary.
So what about the other 2 seats?
Well, in Ward 4, Councilman Chuck Conder, a retired Air Force officer, is being challenged by a pastor, attorney, and retired police officer, Monroe Mabin. Conder wants the city to wean itself off that $32 million a year funding that it's been getting from the city's electric utility and using for police, park maintenance, and other general services. And as we talked about, a judge determined that's not allowable under state law. So that's something that could be before Riverside voters in the fall, either to allow that use or to end it, which would put the city budget in a pinch and probably facing cutbacks. Mabin and Conder are both concerned about Riverside's homeless problem, as are the 6 candidates in the other race. and Mabin said more needs to be done, and not just putting up tiny homes as Riverside did, but deal with the root causes such as mental health and medical help. Condor, interestingly, is in a little bit of hot water with his council colleagues. They voted a couple weeks ago to have the Board of Ethics review whether he possibly violated the confidentiality of closed session discussions when he signed a declaration in support of a lawsuit against the city, the county, and the governor over enforcing the coronavirus shutdown against businesses. He says he didn't disclose confidential information, but at least two of his colleagues are skeptical that he could have obtained the information in that declaration anywhere else. So that's being reviewed now. We'll see if that affects his candidacy. And lastly, Ward 6 Councilman Jim Perry is unopposed, but his name will still appear on the ballot.
This is an odd year. Is that odd for an election to be in an odd year?
More and more cities are switching to even-year elections, so this will be the last year that Riverside will have odd-year council elections. So that means all of the people elected in this election will be serving five-year terms to kind of sync things up with even-year elections.
Well, let's move on. An electric utility formed 3 years ago to serve six Inland Empire cities has declared bankruptcy. What are the six cities and what happened?
Well, the cities are Eastvale, Harupa Valley, Norco, Wildomar, Paris, and Hemet, and they joined Western Community Energy, which was formed to take advantage of a new program called Community Choice Aggregation that allows communities to kind of pool their resources to buy power from outside sources and hopefully provide cheaper electricity to residents and businesses. It serves 113,000 customers, but this year the new utility ran into kind of a perfect storm of setbacks. The pandemic lockdown caused a lot of people to miss their payments, and those delinquencies skyrocketed. And the state banned utility shutoffs, so the utility didn't have any recourse, and that cost about $6 million. The August 2020 heat wave caused demand to surge way past Western's reserves, and that costed about $2 million. The winter's deep freeze in Texas caused energy prices in California to go up, and all of a sudden Western needed about $25 million in financing, which it couldn't get. So Western owes its creditors at least $27 million, and $12 million of that to Southern California Edison. So the board voted to file for Chapter 9 bankruptcy, and that should give it a little bit of a cushion to sort things out and reorganize its structure while being protected from its creditors.
How will this affect customers?
Western says it won't disrupt service, but it will probably increase monthly bills at an average of $5 to $10 per customer.
And how long is the process going to take?
Well, the bankruptcy process is expected to take about 6 months. Of course, as we know with the courts, that can always take a little longer.
The San Bernardino County Grand Jury is now looking into sexual relationships between Redlands Unified School District teachers and students.
Yeah, we've talked about this before after the Southern California News Group did an investigation last year that found that Redlands Unified paid out more than $30 million to settle sexual abuse lawsuits with former students over the past decade. So now the grand jury, as you said, the San Bernardino County Grand Jury, is looking into the problem, and it's asking parents of students concerned about suspected inappropriate contact between students and staff to contact the grand jury either by email or by phone, and it's coming up on a deadline to do that on June 7th. So if people have information they'd like the grand jury to know, they're asked to go to the website sbcounty.gov/grandjury and look up how to contact the grand jury.
Well, we'll make sure to post that web address with today's segment. Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you, Rick.
Longtime journalist Cassie McDuff helps us out regularly on our Friday morning news wrap. These reports are posted at kvcrnews.org. This report made possible with the support of the Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers. For KVCR News, I'm Rick Dulock.